Well, good morning to you. It's good to see you. We are continuing our Celebrate Recovery series this morning. We have a screen. That looks nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We spent a good amount of time up here working yesterday, getting everything kind of set up. We didn't quite get finished, so by next week, we're going to have our screen up. We're going to have our sound system up. We'll have a computer booth back here with all the equipment. This equipment will be here. The projector will be mounted, so that's going to be really nice when we get it all done. And we are glad to finally get this stuff installed. As I mentioned, we're continuing our Celebrate Recovery series here at Lake Merced. Now, some of you know this and some of you don't, but we're actually starting a Christ-centered recovery program through the Lake Merced Church of Christ. And I have been a part of Celebrate Recovery for a long time. I've been familiar with Celebrate Recovery for a long time. We had the program at the church I was at in Arkansas. Lots of people came to faith in the Lord because they found out that Jesus was the cure to their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And so I'm really excited that we're going to have this for our church here. And a lot of you have come to me over the past few weeks and you've said, man, these messages that we're going through are really resonating with me. These principles that we're talking about are really helping me in my daily walk with the Lord. And if that describes you, I just want to encourage you. If these messages are hitting home with you, you might want to consider being a part of Celebrate Recovery when we get it started here in the next few weeks. So stay tuned for details on that. And a lot of people, when they hear the words recovery and program together, they think of drug and alcohol addiction. And Celebrate Recovery will help people that struggle with drugs and alcohol. It is designed to help people with that. But it's not just designed to help people that struggle with drugs and alcohol. It's designed to help anyone that struggles with character defects. We're talking about things like depression, or impatience, or anxiety, or overeating, or anger, or low self-esteem, low self-image, sexual addiction, pornography addiction, laziness, procrastination, whatever your hang-up is, we can help you with it through Celebrate Recovery. And so I want to encourage you, if you've got something like that that you want to get over, you want to recover from, look at this program when we get it started. Now, what we've talked about up to this point, we're basically going through the recovery acronym as part of this material. And what we've talked to you up to this point are these four lessons. We've had four sermons on Celebrate Recovery so far. First of all, we said we're going to realize that we're not God, admit that we're powerless to control our tendencies to do the wrong things, and that our lives are unmanageable. That's the first principle. The second one, the E, is earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. The third one is consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. And the fourth one is openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And that's what Bull covered for us last week. And now we're going to the fifth step. We're going to the V in the acronym. And John Baker in this material says that this fifth step is the one that separates the men from the boys, or the women from the girls. This fifth step is where it really gets kind of tough. Because we've all got character defects. We know we've got character defects. And some of those character defects we really want to go away. Like when I was a drug addict and I struggled with drugs for a long time, I really wanted to get over the drug addiction. I really wanted it gone, right? But when I realized that God didn't just want to get rid of that character defect in my life, He also wanted to get rid of all of the other character defects in my life, it got kind of hard. And I mean, I wanted to get over the drugs, but I was kind of comfortable with being dishonest. I was kind of comfortable with being lazy. I was kind of comfortable with being condescending. I was kind of comfortable with having bad attitudes. I really didn't care much about those character traits or getting rid of them, those character defects. But God did. And that's because some of these character defects that we struggle with, it's like they develop roots in our heart. And when you yank on them, it kind of hurts a little bit. And so this fifth step may involve just a little bit of pain. This is where it gets tough. Voluntarily submit, the fifth one, voluntarily submit to every change God wants me to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. Guys, we got a really simple, quick, easy, Well, not easy, but quick lesson this morning, okay? You're asking yourself, how can I do this? How can I accomplish this fifth step? How do we accomplish this? And what I'm going to share with you this morning is the path to victory. We can accomplish this fifth step by following the path to victory. The Bible says in Matthew 5:6, I love this translation, happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. So let's get in to looking at this path to victory. There are seven keys to this. And the first one is to voluntarily submit. The V in our victory acronym is to voluntarily submit. Romans 12:2 says it this way. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So we are called to be living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. This is about voluntarily releasing control. And that's not easy, is it? We like to be in control. We like to be the ones calling the shots. But this says, no, you give up. You release that control. You let God take over. Anybody in here a Carrie Underwood fan? Any country music fans in here? Oh, you like Carrie Underwood? You know that song, Jesus Take the Wheel?
Yeah, it's good.
Here's some lyrics from that. This was number one on the charts. I'm not a huge country music fan, but this is a good song. Part of the chorus, Carrie sings, Jesus take the wheel, take it from my hands, because I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go. That's voluntary submission right there. That's giving up right there. I am letting go. I was driving the wheel of my life. I was driving the car of my life. But I'm not getting anywhere fast. I'm going the wrong way. Jesus, come take this over for me. Voluntary submission. And you're saying to yourself, I don't want to live this way anymore. But how do I change? And the good news is, you don't do it. God does it. God is at work in you. This isn't about you removing all your character defects. It's about God doing it. Your role in this whole thing is just saying, okay, God, take over. Your role is submission. You've got to voluntarily submit. The second part of this, on the path to victory, the I, is identify character defects. And we talked about this a little bit last week. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Basically, you will not know where you need to start in this road to recovery until you know what's holding you back. I recommend making a list. I think this is a healthy thing to do. Make a list of your character defects. It's like there's this added layer of accountability when your character defects are there where you can see them. You can't get up until you identify what made you fall down. And falling down doesn't make you a failure. Staying down does. So we need to identify what's holding us back. And then specifically ask God to remove those character defects. He likes it when we're specific with him. He likes it when we're specific with him. He already knows what's going on, but he likes it when we tell him. So confess your sins to him, as this scripture says. In addition to talking to God about these things, talk to your Christian brothers and sisters about it too. Look at this. In James 5:16, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Guys, successful recovery is always a team effort. It's not something that you do on your own. There's you, there's God, and there's your brothers and sisters in Christ that love you. You were never meant to do this all on your own. So it says to tell other people about it. And why do you tell other people about it? Because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You want to let people know what's going on in your life so that not only will you be praying for what's going on, not only will you be specific to God and lifting up your request, they can be specific and lift you up as well. And prayer changes things. Recovery is a team effort. The third principle is change your mind. Change the way you think. This is Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How can you test and approve what God's will is? By the renewing of your mind. You need to change the way you think. And remember, this is a team effort. It's you, it's God, and it's your spiritual community. And God doesn't just want to change your behavior. He wants to change what drives your behavior. He wants to change your heart. He wants to change the way you think. Because you can change your behavior, and it's just kind of like trimming the weeds in the garden. You trimmed them, but they're going to grow back because the roots are still there. If you change the way you think, if you change the way you see your character defects, if you change the way you see how you're living your life, and line it up with how God sees your character defects and how God sees you living your life, it gets to the root of the problem. You're pulling the weeds up by the root when you do that. And you're saying, so how do I change my mind? How do I renew my mind? This right here is the mind of God. You want to know why Bible study is important? Because this right here tells us how God thinks. And it tells us what God thinks. And it tells us how God sees the world. And it tells us how God sees us. And so when we dig into the Word, we want to conform our minds to what God's mind is. And we want to see our own character defects the way God sees our character defects. And that will allow us to get to the root. So we're not just changing our behavior. We're changing the way we think about our behavior. We're changing the way we think about what's good and what's bad. And this helps us be better. This will help us be a better person. Help us be better people. So change your mind. Knowing Scripture will help you do that. Being part of a Christ-centered community, too, that is centered around studying Scripture. Learning, so it's good to study on your own. It's also good to be with other people who are going to take you further than you would get on your own. And so it's very important that we do that. The fourth principle, okay, you've changed the way that you think. You've changed your mind. So now, turn away from sin and turn to God. That's the fourth principle. This is the repentance that we're talking about. Turn away from sin, turn to God. Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So not only is he going to forgive you, he's going to refresh you. He's going to fulfill you. It's wonderful, a wonderful promise here. And remember, you've already tried doing this on your own. You've wanted to get rid of whatever this character defect is for a long time. You've tried doing it on your own, and it hasn't worked. Right? It's because you're not meant to. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, talking to the church, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We are called as a church to help each other when we're struggling. And you're saying, I've got this behavior that I really want to get over, and I've changed the way that I'm thinking about it. I see it the way God sees it. I see it as something really, really bad that I need to get rid of now, and I want to change it. I want to do something different, but I need help. When you get right down to it, I really need help. And church, we are to carry one another's burdens. We are to be there for one another to help each other become better disciples of Jesus Christ. So remember, you were never meant to get over this on your own. You were never meant to. The fifth step on this road to victory, take it one day at a time. Your character defects didn't develop overnight. Don't expect them to go away overnight. You've heard that old cliche, life is hard by the yard, but a cinch by an inch. How's it go? But a cinch by the inch. There's a lot of truth to that. There's really a lot of truth to that. And this is going to be a long, hard road. Let me tell you something. Recovery of any kind is a long, hard road. It's not an overnight kind of thing. And some days are going to be better than others. Some days are going to be worse than others. Some days you're just going to want to throw up your hands and say, this is too hard. I can't do this. But let me tell you something. It's hard, but it's never too hard. Look at what this scripture says. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." So this verse says two things. Number one, you're never going to have more put on you than you can handle. And secondly, when you do have those bad days and you are tempted to fall back into that bad habit or to go back to that hang up or whatever, there will always be a way out. You are never forced into sin. You can always say no, no matter what. And God has given you the power to do that. And that's comforting to me. That really is comforting to me. So take it one day at a time. Remember, there will be days that are worse than others. But you will never have more on you than you can handle, and you will always have a way out. Take comfort in that. The R is to remember that recovery is a process. As I mentioned before, your character defects didn't develop overnight. They're not going to go away overnight. You're involved in a process. So make your goal progress, not overnight perfection. Make your goal progress, not overnight perfection. Trust that God is with you and that he will grow you over time. Philippians 1:6 says it like this, being confident of this, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." He is at work in you. And he is growing you. And I've worked with a lot of new Christians over the years who have come to me and said, "Man, I am just not maturing as quickly as I want to. I mean, I look at you guys who have been walking with the Lord for so long, and I'm just not there. I'm really getting fed up. I'm sick of struggling with the same old things." And I always tell them, it's a process. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and be Jesus. You need to shoot for progress, not overnight perfection. Make perfection your goal, but don't expect to achieve it in this lifetime. Okay? Especially overnight. The last principle on this road to victory, and this is a big one, you must choose to change. You must choose to change. Do you really want to change? Do you really want things to change? Because guess what? Nobody can decide but you. Nobody could decide but you. I drove my parents nuts. Oh my goodness. Drove them up the wall when I was a teenager and into my early 20s with all the things that I was doing. And they tried all kinds of different approaches. They sent me to counselors. They sent ministers to talk to me. They sent all these people to talk to me. They talked to me. We had the big family meetings. It was awful. They tried to force me to change. But you know what? They couldn't do it. Nothing changed in my life until I decided it was something that I really wanted. And the same is true for every one of you. If you've got a hurt, if you've got a habit, if you've got a hang up that you need to get rid of, that you want to get out of your life, you are the only one ultimately who can make the decision to make it go away. And part of the way that you're going to have to do this may be a little different than you've done before. Because you're saying, I've struggled with this for so long, and I want it to go away, sort of. I think I want it to go away. I mean, I've tried to deal with it on my own, and it hasn't worked. I submit to you that that's the problem. And the choice you have to make is, are you going to continue to try to deal with it on your own? Or are you going to ask for help? Are you going to continue to try to deal with it on your own? Or are you going to talk to God about it? And not just God, are you going to talk to your Christian brothers and sisters about it? That's the choice you have to make. And that's the road to recovery. And let me tell you something. It is easy to keep what my friend Tanya in Arkansas calls our stinky fish all to ourselves. You know, our problems, our sin. It is easy to keep our stinky fish all to ourselves. We don't want everybody else to know what our stinky fish is. It takes a lot of humility to tell people and to tell God, I'm messed up, I got a problem, and I need help. It takes a lot of humility to do that. And look at what this says in James 4, 6. It says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Listen to this, verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and look at what he'll do. And he will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. That is a beautiful verse. And it's a promise. And I can tell you from my own experience, it's true. It's true. God is waiting to turn your strengths into weaknesses. Got that backwards. He's waiting to turn your weaknesses into strengths. I just seen if y'all were awake. He wants you to be the person he created you to be. He wants you to be fully recovered and alive in Christ. That's God's will for you. He doesn't want you to be low. He wants you to humble yourself before him. And just like the promise says, he will lift you up. He wants you to be that person. And so a quick review here. Seven keys to victory. Voluntarily submit. Be a living sacrifice. Release control. Don't continue holding on saying, this is just mine. I can handle this. No, no, no. Let it go. Let God take over. Part of doing this is identifying your character defects. You can't get up until you know what's keeping you down. It's not a failure. You're not a failure if you're down. You're a failure if you stay down. Change your mind. Know the Word. Change the way you think. Study the Bible on your own. Study it with other people. Get to know the mind of God and make it your own. Turn over your character defects. Turn away from sin. Turn to God. This is the repentance stage. Change your behavior. And remember that recovery is a team effort. You don't do it on your own. Tell other people what's going on, what you're trying to do, what you need help with, what you need prayer for. Take it one day at a time. Remember that some days are going to be worse than others. But God will never put more on you than you can handle, and he will always give you a way out in terms of temptation. Remember that recovery is a process. So shoot for progress and not overnight perfection. And you must choose to change. No one can make that choice for you. It is yours to make. And you're saying, I've done it on my own. I've tried to change on my own. The choice you have to make is, are you going to let God in, or are you going to let others in who are Christ-centered people who love you? That's the choice you have to make. And so we have a tradition here at Lake Merced. At the end of every Sunday, we just open this time up. And let me tell you something. There are some people that are sitting in these chairs this morning who are carrying a burden around with them. In a room this size, I just know there are. And God offers healing to you if you make the choice to accept it. And so I want to encourage you, if you are struggling with something, if you've got something you want to recover from, if you want to experience the love of Christ in this assembly this morning, if you want prayer, if you want people to lift your name up to the Lord, if you want to recover, let us know what we can do to help you this morning. We will pray with you. We'll do whatever we can. Let us lift you up. Let us do that. It's a privilege to do that. And so we're going to go ahead and close out this morning and sing a song. And like I said, I just want to encourage you. If you're sitting there thinking, should I do this? Don't let embarrassment hold you back. Come forward and let us love you. All right? Let's sing.